Hey, everybody. Good morning and happy Thursday. It is April 18th. We are the Play Up Pace Morning Show brought to you by Compliment, lovecompliment.com. Just realizing I forgot to set the episode title. That's always a good move by me. But today what we got is eight under and overrated health foods. We all know health food isn't always healthy. In this case, I'm typing the title in.
Gotta say, some of these came as a bit of a surprise for me, but others, I'm just excited to talk about how overrated they are.
Yeah, very true. That's kind of what we do all the time, actually, is talk about that. So it seemed like a fitting topic for the day. All right, let's see. I had my son's birthday yesterday. We made, yes, at his request, a vegan vodka sauce for pasta. We've only had that one time at home like a year ago, and he loved it. He just calls it the orange sauce because you puree the tomatoes so they kind of get really orange. I had to go to the liquor store to buy some vodka. Used a whole cup of vodka in the recipe, which was a lot.
Wow.
I thought I was going to go in there and get a little airplane bottle.
Yeah.
That's what I had. And then I Googled the recipe while I was in the store, and the guy was like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm trying to find this." And he said, "Oh, here, use this amount. Get this thing." And it was only $4 for a little cup of vodka, so it was good.
So not the high quality stuff, I guess.
Well, I didn't really know how good or bad it was. I said, don't give me the worst stuff. It doesn't have to be good. But it looked like a nice bottle. It was like good marketing.
Plastic or glass?
Glass bottle.
Okay.
I think it was New Amsterdam brand. And had like a Empire State Building backsplash in the glass bottle. I don't know. It looked like it was okay. But it was only $4. So it couldn't have been.
I think vodka, probably more than any other liquor. This is a uneducated, semi-educated statement.
Yeah.
Is more about marketing than anything else. Like, I think there is like higher levels of vodka.
Right.
But like a lot of the filtration, stuff like that. Like, I just think it's all marketing. And you know, and that's different than say whiskey or bourbon that ages, and you know, that often impacts the you know, the cost and that kind of thing. So I don't know. But
yeah. I mean, those kind of have their own taste. I don't know anything about these spirits like this, but my sense is that vodka, basically, if it's good, just doesn't taste like anything. And if it's bad, it just tastes like more and more like, you know, gasoline or alcohol. So like I smelled this and it still smelled like alcohol. So I think maybe you're trying to remove the flavor, but I'm guessing maybe there's not a huge difference between good and bad. I don't really know. All I know is I'm
getting into the like cotton candy vodkas and all the different flavor vodkas.
Right,
and
then I saw that. I had to avoid that.
Yeah. Cotton candy vodka sauce might be kind of good, you know?
Yeah. But I do know you don't buy the plastic bottle ones that end in OV, like some kind of Russian name, Pavlov or whatever. That's the road you don't go down. Okay. Well, good morning to people who are here. Britters, Justin Kerner, Big Media X Claws, Dale Stevens, Matt O'Connor, Sarah Slim, Kate, AKA Rivercat, Alex Turton, QB75. And Gene Ogden. I'd like to know QB75 story. Are you really a QB? Must be. Must have been a QB or are a QB. Number 75. College. NFL. XFL. High school. Let us know. I'm curious. Speaking of sports, Doug, I saw that there was a guy who was banned for life from pro basketball for gambling on the sport. You see that?
I did see that. Yeah. Yeah.
So good. I wonder if he was doing DraftKings. Probably not. Probably had a bigger inside play than DraftKings.
Was he gambling on his own games?
I don't know. Didn't read the details.
Yeah. Did you see I think it was Ethiopian, could have been Kenyan runners at a marathon in China, let the Chinese runner win at the very end. Kind of like held back and pushed the Chinese, or, you know, waved the Chinese runner in front. And they're all getting like in a lot of trouble for it.
Wow.
It seems weird to me.
Did they have to wait like an hour at the end, just kind of like hang out a long time?
No. The Chinese runner was up there with him.
And, oh, okay. That's
good. And they kind of like waved him through so that he could take the W. And who knows what the story is there, but I would have thought that, you know, like have the hometown hero win if he's like, if it's been a big battle, like that's cool.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Could be fixing, right? Because maybe they.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was there serious prize money involved that they were giving up to do that? Because if there was, then I'd say I would suspect something's up.
I think there was prize money. Yeah, I mean, it was like a major Chinese marathon.
Interesting. Think the Chinese government was involved somehow and said it better turn out this way or else?
Yeah. Maybe there was some fixing by the Chinese government.
Maybe they just really didn't want to win because they knew that would not be good. And so they just said, we got to get second or third in this thing. And
yeah.
All right. QB, not a quarterback. Initials of first and last name and birth year. Too bad. Could have been your like CR7 kind of hashtag. Although I guess yeah, that's his name too.
Let's see. I went for a run this morning. Not too much to report there.
Great. Wonderful.
I left over for dinner last night. Not too much to report
the
there.
Gym or the running, you're doing a great thing.
I am, man. I'm doing like probably 4 mornings a week. I'm at either running or at the gym by 5:45.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. Great habit to be in. It's been so long since I've done that sort of thing. I mean, forever. Like, I don't know when I last did that. But good for you. That's fantastic.
Yeah, feels good.
Okay, so let's get to some stuff here. We had unfinished business from yesterday. I think, was it Beth? I forgot the name yesterday and forgot it again.
Yeah, Beth.
Said, what are your positions on, or what's your take on oil? Matt is always saying he tries to get it now. And Gregor says that it is bad. And all oil is pretty bad. I think it was Vegan Stallion who jumped in yesterday and said, Gregor has kind of softened his stance on oil a little bit. I don't know if that's actually true or not, but I know when How Not to Die came out and we interviewed him, I think I asked him specifically about olive oil. And I think he said it was a yellow light food for him, which you probably could have figured out by looking up on the internet or something, but we asked him, that's what he said. He said, it's not a good food, but by comparison to some other things, it is good. And I forget what it was he was comparing to. I don't think it was just butter. I thought it was kind of a more interesting comparison than that. But the other things you could use in the place of it. I can't remember what it was. So that's why maybe it was just other oils, vegetable oil. I don't know. But he said, yellow light food, it's not terrible. It's not great. It's okay. But I've seen his books that they do pretty much just say that it's bad. They mentioned the studies that show different things like, for example, a lot of oils, even olive oil, regular old olive oil, will inflame arteries after meals. They call that, I think, postprandial arterial inflammation. And the effect is like, you know, last sometimes anywhere between 30 minutes and maybe 3 to 6 hours after a meal, you can observe that arteries are inflamed. The endothelial cells, which everyone knows are that important lining, they get inflamed. There's been like studies where if you eat a sausage biscuit or something, it like does serious damage for a while and it takes your arteries a while to get back. Olive oil does the same thing, maybe not to such an extent, but extra virgin olive oil that has some of these extra solids and compounds and things in it, because it's, you know, pressed right from the olive, it's not refined. That apparently those extra compounds sort of help to combat that inflammation stuff. So it seemed like perhaps in Gregor's mind, good old raw, uncooked extra virgin olive oil would get a pass and be the okay thing to have. So that's you know, kind of where he stands. If you look up research, like you can find lots of things saying it's good and actually calms arterial inflammation after meals. So it's like very much conflicting. And Longo, Walter Longo, he does the longevity diet. We actually talked about him like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. He was on Best Life Online. I think he had an interview. And he says he's all about this sort of combined Mediterranean plus, well, a more plant-based version of Mediterranean. But he's from Italy. He's all about that stuff. And he says 3 tablespoons per day. And he's a longevity researcher. He does, you know, serious research. He's not just a guy out there promoting his home country's diet. So he says, strive to get 3 tablespoons per day. And this is from looking at people who live a long time. Pretty sure most of the Blue Zones populations use oil in some form or another. So, you know, I don't know. But to me, it's like, if it's this much, I'm not sure about it. I'm going to go with the one that sounds more fun, right? Like, I like the Mediterranean stuff. I like the Blue Zone stuff. That to me sounds like a fun, interesting, inspiring way to be healthy and like philosophy of health compared to, for example, whole food plant-based, like Gene Ogden says here, would say eat olives and not the oil. And whole food plant-based in the strict sense also says don't eat any salt and don't drink any caffeine and don't drink any alcohol. And like, yes, that is one, you know, philosophy of health, but I'm not convinced that's better than a more moderate one. And the more moderate one just sounds way more fun to me. So I think that's why.
You went through a phase where you were no oil, right? Or at least you did.
Yeah,
a no oil.
Yeah, I tried it. I liked it. After the vegan cruise, I did it. We went to a talk by Chef AJ, and Erin was interested in losing weight at the time. So she started doing it. And like had great success with it. It worked really well. I was able to do it without losing weight, which I was concerned about losing weight. I didn't want to, but mm-hmm. it really didn't make a difference. And I got used to how the food tasted. It wasn't a problem. You can do fine without oil. But I don't know. I didn't feel like I was any healthier, and I don't feel like I'm less healthy. I didn't do that careful heart checking. So I don't know the effect it had on my heart health, but I don't know. I've been back and forth. In the end, when there's this much controversy, I'm going to go with the one that sounds more pleasant.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's not even like a go with the one that sounds more pleasant. It's just like when something appears to have this much controversy around it, but from credible scientists, you know, mm-hmm. and there isn't an obvious, like with alcohol, I mean, I think there's a pretty obvious, like, if you don't drink, you're probably going to be better off.
Yeah, I think it's coming to be that up here.
Now. Yeah. And, you know, even though there are people who suggest the glass of red wine or whatever, but if, you know, I think that if you just cut it all out, you'd probably be better off than if you were drinking it. With olive oil, I mean, for me, it's just kind of, there's so much up in the air about it. And so I just don't ever think about it. I mean, we cook pretty much exclusively with olive oil. You know, I try to not put too much in the pan. Most of the time we don't do that. Rarely do I like dip bread in there or do kind of just like olive oil uncooked, you know, I don't know what you'd sprinkle it on, spread it on mm-hmm. tomatoes or whatever.
Salad.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I have salad dressings, sure. Sometimes do, you know, maybe would spread it on some a fresh tomato that we got from the garden or something like that. But that's pretty rare, right? And so I just, you know, it's just moderation. I just kind of do my thing and don't really think much about it. I don't know if that's good, but, you know, it's just like I got so many other health and food related things that I do think a lot about. And this is one that I just don't.
Yeah, it is difficult and nuanced. I mean, you mentioned the trying to get it raw versus not raw. And like that's, I think that's really the thing. Like the important thing is if you're going to be getting 3 tablespoons a day, I think most of that better be uncooked because once you start cooking, you get oxidation happening. And in fact, Longo, he recommends using a non extra virgin olive oil for cooking, like a more refined olive oil, which is nice because it's cheaper. But his argument is that if it's not refined, you get more of the oxidation that happens that makes it even worse for you. So, you know, who knows what the right answer. Gene Ogden says, I wonder how many olives 3 tablespoons of oil would equate to. Before you go and start eating a bunch of olives, Gene Ogden, you'll know that people like Dr. Furman say it'd be nice to get it from olives instead of oil, but there's too much salt in the olives. You start eating enough olives to get that amount of olive oil, you'll be doing damage you know, in other things with all the salt you're getting. So there's really not a way to get whole olives healthily like that, or at least in that quantity.
A quick Google search says 45 olives.
For what? 3 tablespoons of olive oil?
For 1 tablespoon.
Okay. So yeah, you'd be eating a lot of olives to get 3 tablespoons and you'd get way too much salt.
But what about like other oil? I mean, right? Like, so we both eat a little bit of plant meat sometimes. We both, I don't know, have other things that have oil in it, right? I mean, French fries, tater tots.
Yeah, that's not, you're saying other oil? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm saying like, I don't think much about that either. Again, it's like, you know, I try not to have fried food very much. Mm. I think most people should.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I think about it. I definitely consider it bad. Like when I see that in food and it says vegetable oil or whatever, peanut oil, and those are in recipes. And now and then I will use them in recipes, but like I generally say, this is a bad thing. I need to be careful not use much of this. Because I don't think that way with olive oil. I think of it differently, which I don't know if that's really deserved or not. I think it could be marketing, who knows? So as usual, we don't know. Britters agrees though. Same here. We'll continue to use olive oil and be mindful of the amount in the pan. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Be mindful of the amount in the pan. Don't be mindful of the amount when you put it on salad or dip a little bread in it. I think then it's good to get it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Not health advice.
Not a doctor.
All right. Other question. Doug, who sent this in? I wrote the question down. What are your positions on wearing shoes indoors? I feel like Matt.
This is from Jessica. Jessica Goodenough, I believe.
Oh, okay.
On Discord.
I haven't seen her in a while. Anyway, I don't know if she's asking for like foot health reasons and gait health reasons, or is she asking for sanitation?
Yeah, I think just what's our take on shoes indoors?
I don't do it. I feel like I'm tracking dirt all around my house if I do that, and germs from the road. So I don't do it. But I mean, now and then I might run back in and do something. But in general, we're not walking around our house with shoes on. So I think that's probably better. I don't know if it really matters. But the other thing is, I think it's good to be barefoot. I think walking around barefoot is a good thing. Indoors, you're probably not going to injure yourself or step on anything that would harm you, like you might outside on a road walking around with no shoes on.
It's because you don't have any kids anymore.
Yeah, right. We don't have Legos and all that around. Like
Legos everywhere. Toys everywhere.
Micro machines. Home Alone 1, was that? anyway. Yeah. I mean, so we don't. But I don't know. I think it's okay. What about you, Doug? You seem like a shoes-off house.
We're definitely a shoes-off house. But, you know, I wear slippers inside, which, I mean, I guess that's better for better for my feet than probably shoes are, because there's no sport.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but it's not like full on toe.
Spilling. No, right. And you know, those people always say don't wear flip flops. Like the people who are into like running gait and form and stuff like that, yeah. Like Kelly Starr, they say that's bad. It makes you take a step and land in a strange spot because you're going to keep the flip flop on. Same thing might apply with the slippers. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I just love a cozy slipper. During the summer, I'm more of a barefooter, but I don't really want to be a guy
wearing slippers around, Doug. Maybe you should lose that.
What?
It might just be time to let that go.
Are you kidding me? I just finally, for the first time since high school, was able to upgrade my slippers to a very wonderful, we talked about this, I think, in the Christmas episode, a very wonderful vegan slipper company. Because I couldn't find good quality vegan slippers. It could replace my L.L. Bean leather slippers. So I just wore these old ratty L.L. Bean slippers.
Yeah. Okay. Justin Kerner wants to see them, Doug. So maybe next time you can bring them if you don't have them.
You know what I wear in the office? This is partly from my standing desk. Is some knockoff Crocs.
Uh-huh. That's good. Yeah. I used to wear that kind of stuff for my standing desk.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go ahead and say slippers, needless accessory. Not needed at all in the world we live in.
That's because you keep your house at 80 degrees.
Yeah. True.
The rest of us. Normal folks.
Yeah.
I don't know. but no, we're definitely a shoe off household for the germs, for sure. In the mud and the dirt. Like, I don't know. Just kind of gross.
Scientific evidence to that? Like, does that actually do anything? Do you know?
I mean, it has to. I don't know, but it has to.
It has to.
How could it not? What do you mean?
Like, I mean, certainly it drags less things in from outside. Do those things actually degrade your health or the quality of your healthfulness of your home?
I don't know. I guess it doesn't have to. But I spend a lot of time on the floor playing with the kids or, you know, whatever, doing yoga or, you know, I don't know. I just spend a lot of time on the floor. And I just feel like I don't want to be tracking the grocery store into my house.
What if you were to invite another Black Mountain town councilman over for dinner at some point? Or just come hang out for some kind of informal meeting, have a little whiskey or something, and he starts to walk in with his shoes on, or she starts walking with his shoes. Are you going to say, sorry, this is stop there?
We have those little things that you slip over, those little booties you slip over your shoes, and we offer them.
You don't have that, I hope.
No, we don't do that. No, I mean, I wouldn't make anybody take their shoes off, but you know, but people come in, and most of the time you come in through the back door into the mudroom, you see all the shoes, you see us taking off our shoes.
Right.
More times than not, people just see it and do it.
Yeah. Yep. There's some kind of comedian who has some sort of skit, like an acted out skit, not just a stand-up routine, but a filmed thing where he's like a guest at a party and he has to take his shoes off. And he's like his socks off or his shoes off. And he just feels so goofy standing there with his socks off, talking to a bunch of other guys. I forget who it was. I wish I could remember. I
mean, what if you have really stinky feet or like, you know, I wear socks most of the time, but my toes are gross. And then they're all from running. Half of them, the toenails are gone. Like, they just look disgusting. They could gross some people out.
Right. I mean, a lot of times I don't wear socks, not on purpose, but like every now and then I just won't for whatever reason. So like if I somehow found myself in a situation where I was invited into a house and then I got to take my shoes off and I have bare feet, I mean, that'd be terrible. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to take your shoes off when you come visit me next year?
Yes. I definitely.
Like what, when you go into a guest's house, is your default to take the shoes off if it appears they are, or leave them on?
Yeah. Yeah. If it looks like they are.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just quickly in and out, I'm not going to do it.
But yeah. 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 Maybe if you're picking up a kid or something. If you're, okay. So what if they're not taking off their shoes? Are you taking off yours?
No, definitely not. So like walking to somebody's house and their shoes are all on.
Yeah. Just take off your shoes.
No, definitely not doing that.
Okay.
All right. I Googled a little bit. CNN has the dirty truth about taking your shoes off at the door. I'm not going to read further. I think it's something about etiquette kind of thing that it's not polite to make people take their shoes off. All right. That's it. I think that's all we got for...
No, we have another update. Wheaties.
Oh, yeah. Wheaties. Yes, this is good. This luckily you found this for us. Or maybe someone did in Discord, I'm guessing.
I did in the Discord. JJoe, I think.
JJoe. Okay. This is good. I don't know why I couldn't find this, but I definitely couldn't. Maybe it got updated later. They sent the ingredients list of Wheaties protein, which yesterday we reported has 22 grams of protein per serving or 21 grams, depending which variety you get. It looks to me like this ingredient list is not including any amount of milk, you know, whether plant or animal milk. So this is just pure in the cereal, in one cup of the cereal, of which there are seven in a box, 22 grams of protein. This is the vegan or the maple almond version. I assume it's vegan based on the ingredients. You never quite know. Like D3, like there can be, I forget about the D's, Doug. Is there a non-vegan form of D3?
Don't know about that.
Yeah. The most common source of D3 is lanolin, which comes from sheep's wool.
Yeah.
So that has D3 in it. So you don't know if that's vegan or not, unless you write to General Mills, send them a nice nail mail letter, maybe write it out, send it, put it in the mail and find it, see what they say. Grape nuts used to be that way. And I stopped eating grape nuts for a while, but then I heard it came back to being vegan again. Hmm. Anyway, the protein though, I think the more interesting part comes from vital wheat gluten. Not a great source, but okay, I guess. But that's what's in seitan.
Not that bioavailable though, right?
Doesn't have a good protein digestibility score. Although when I mentioned that the other month, somebody jumped in a comment and said, it actually doesn't matter much. Turns out that score is not very meaningful for whatever. And I don't remember the reasons, but I looked at it and it seemed like it could be legit what they were saying. So wheat gluten is number two ingredient, almonds number three, and then number five after maple syrup. That's pretty high for maple syrup. You get five grams added sugars in a serving. Soy protein isolate. So it's coming from just good old soy protein they're sticking in there. You know, that's not like a preferred go-to protein source, but it's perhaps not a bad one. They stay away from those isolates, some value getting the protein more than that concern. I don't know. To me, it seems like we're going to get some inflation or something. I wouldn't worry too much about that. Unless you're a person who doesn't tolerate soy, then pumpkin seeds, then coconut oil, then pumpkin seeds again, set the ingredient list.
They sprinkled in a little pumpkin seed twice.
At every step of the cooking process, all layers of flavor. You put the seeds in there.
That's a pretty big typo for Wheaties to have on their ingredient list. I wonder if it's on the box like that.
Who knows? That is funny. You're right. Mm-hmm. Maybe it means they changed order or something changed and they had to.
I mean, what if it's like, I mean, the bad part would be if one of these was sesame seed or something, you know, different.
That would be really bad. Coconut oil in the middle. I don't love that one either. That's one I try to stay away from. Speaking of oils, that's one I do stay away from. It's saturated fat and in general thought to be not good for heart health. Mm-hmm. You know, that's definitely questionable. I don't know for sure that it's true, but I'm staying away from it. How much fat is in this cereal? 4 grams of saturated fat in one serving. That's too much for me. That would make me not.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't say anything about the coconut oil, whether it's raw or refined or unrefined or anything, which might matter. But yeah, that's too bad. That's kind of a deal breaker for me. But if you're not worried about that, could be a good cereal for you.
I mean, look at the nutrient profile, nutrition facts. It's not bad. 22 grams of protein, 6 grams of sugar, you know, 5 grams of added sugar. But I don't know. Not too much sodium. Not a crazy amount.
And then they fortified it with a bunch of vitamins too.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can't eat this every day. You can't eat 5 grams of sugar and 4 grams of saturated fat, 10 grams total fat. Not that fat's bad, but I just don't know where it's from.
Is it, right.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like every day eating that stuff. That might be a good little treat thing now that I wouldn't do it all the time. Unfortunately, good try though. Like the effort by Wheaties. Kate says, I'd rather eat a bowl of lentils for breakfast. Look at that.
Ooh. Amen, Kate. The humble lentil.
I think I'd struggle with lentils for breakfast. I did a little phase where I was doing something like that and it was tough.
Yeah, I was doing that for a little while. I keep meaning to get back to it. But
yeah. I think that's the Southwest breakfast. That's a good idea.
So this is kind of interesting. I don't know what it means. So there's an asterisk next to the 10 grams of total fat.
Yes.
And that asterisk is amount in cereal. So does that mean that the rest of it is amount in cereal plus milk? Doesn't say that anywhere.
No. Very weird page. What intern made this page for them?
Seriously though. I mean, I don't know. Something to figure out.
Yeah, definitely. I have no idea. That's a great question. All right. Mr. Jeffrey says, what if instead of coconut oil, it was olive oil? Yeah, it probably would taste less good, but I'd eat it. Then I'm not concerned about that amount of fat. But it does, still, if it's like cooked or whatever, oxidized, not good. All right. Alex says, yellow lentils cooked down can get sort of sweet. Maybe with some cinnamon, I could tolerate that for breakfast. Ooh, I don't know about that. Maybe with some like salsa or something, and you could pretend I'm in Mexico. That'd be good. But I don't know.
Lentils, all right. Lentils and toast is what I did. Lentils on a sourdough slice of toast.
Yeah, that could be good. Beans and toast, classic Irish or Scottish or Welsh breakfast, that is. All right. Anyway, Doug, you think they can tell we have nothing to talk about today? And that's why
we're half hour in here and haven't even got to the weather report. I think it's good.
We do have some stuff. It's just a quick thing. All right. Let's get to the weather report real quick before we run out of time. As the bad stuff about vegan diets keeps piling up, the bad publicity anyway, a new study in this case is going the other way from JACC Heart Failure. That's the journal of something. That's a legit journal. I forget what it was. They examined the impact of one particular diet, which is the Eat Lancet diet, which is a diet rich in plant-based foods. It's kind of like Mediterranean, but more on components like cereals and legumes. And what they found was this diet appeared to help decrease the risk of developing heart failure. This is with 23,000 people, median follow-up of 25 years. So this is a good long-term study. Observational, I'm sure, not a clinical trial. And is it more fruit specifically and unsaturated oils? There we go with the oils again. Was associated with a reduced risk for heart failure, and that moderate daily intake at baseline was associated with a lower risk for heart failure compared to high dairy intake. So, I mean, good for a high plant diet that's the case. But it's a perfect example of what I was just saying about oils. That like, you read Gregor and you listen to Furman and you see other people, and it just sounds like oil is the worst thing you can eat. Although Gregor, like I said, yellow light, he's not all against it. But most of the plant-based doctors will have you convinced that oil is really bad. Mm. And the studies that are legit that show how it increases arterial inflammation and all this, and you think, I can't eat this. And then you see this, and it's a long, long study, observational, specifically what they find, eat more fruit and unsaturated oils, right? So no coconut oil, but olive oil would be perfectly fine here. And they don't say raw, they just say oils in general. Reduce risk for heart failure, which is like the number one thing that they say oils do bad is cause
heart failure.
Right. So it's like, you just don't know. And that's why I think you just got to say, well, whatever. I'm not going to totally avoid them because that's too much of a lifestyle problem. Unless you have specific evidence that for you, it really does change your heart lipid numbers or something. And then, you know what to do based on that. But, I don't know. Good example.
Harold says, I thought it was the hot oils that were to be the worst.
What does that mean?
Like heated oils, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's right. I think that's when you get the oxidation. So I think almost certainly the raw virgin oils will be better than hot and eaten cold, never cooked. Good thing.
And Dale says, Dale says, maybe we should just eat oils in moderation.
Like that. Hot take, Dale. Controversial.
I forgot to mention, speaking of no oil and oil free, I'm having dinner with Rip Esselstyn and the Plant Strong crew tonight.
Nice. I saw that Adam mentioned that on our team call, hanging out with you. Yeah. That'd be fun. Yeah. That'd be good.
And then I'm hoping to play challenge them in a little pickleball afterwards.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Are you going to tell them that you are the town councilman in the very town that is hosting their event?
They're in.
Are you going to let that slide?
Probably won't come up. But
no, hey. Won't like accidentally humble flex kind of thing?
I could wear my name tag that says, town council member.
Yeah, perfect.
Perfect.
That's good. I mean, Rip's a superstar. Big time celebrity and great fun guy too.
Absolutely, yeah.
Good. Well, I hope you guys have a good time. Where are you guys eating?
At the retreat.
Oh, their thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mr. Jeffrey says, are you going to ask him to help you with your pull-ups? You should challenge him to a pull-up competition.
Yeah. no, I probably won't bring that up either. No council talk, no pull-up talk.
Good. All right. Well, that's good. Glad that people are impressed by that. Doug is our Leslie Knope, says Britters. That's true.
That's right.
Yeah, people are into that. Good. I mean, look, limited survey data point here. This tells us that Rip is a superstar celebrity.
That's right. I will give my full report at the Friday show. Come tomorrow, 1 yeah. p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Good. All right. Up next, Meatable has hosted the first ever cultivated meat tasting in the European Union. We said that this was coming. If you would listen to us a few weeks ago, you could have known this was going to happen and made arrangements to be at it. Steven, who's not here today, maybe he didn't go, probably didn't go, probably wasn't invited. But they're Dutch. They hosted it in the Netherlands. And a little bit of controversy here. Australian company Val recently held Europe's first official cultivated meat tasting. But they did it, for some reason, in Iceland. And Iceland is not a member of the EU, so doesn't count. Not the first EU tasting. This is like your ultra running buddies, Doug, who like say like, well, I did this thing first. And they're like, well, I was the first one to do that after doing this race that same morning. Or the first one to do it with pushing my stuff in a baby stroller.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever. First one to do it with no shirt on. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, there we go. And then finally, for one more circle back, this episode's full of circle backs. Rejoinder? Is that what a rejoinder is, Doug? Where you rejoin up with something?
Ooh, never even heard that term.
Rejoinder is just a quick, witty, critical reply. Not a circle back. But another circle back here. General Mills, who's the maker of Wheaties and Wheaties protein. They plan to reduce their dairy emissions by 40% by 2030 through manure management, rotational grazing, and feed optimization and cow health initiatives. So look at that. It doesn't say they're trying to be nicer to the cows or anything like that, but you have to imagine that these things will also turn out to be a little nicer for the cows. Rotational grazing, I don't know about feed optimization, but cow health, good for animals, good for the environment. Of course, that's the main reason they're doing it. That's a pretty big deal, right? I mean, recognizing that you just don't see, it seems like there's a lot of turning a blind eye to what agriculture does to the environment, and good to see a big company saying we're gonna fix that, or at least
part. Yeah, definitely. So I wonder what their biggest dairy producing companies are. I mean, I guess they own so many things. They'd probably include dairy.
What do they own? They own Cookie Crisp. They own Wheaties.
They own Annie's. They own Betty Crocker. Bisquit. They own so many things.
Yeah.
Fiber One. 45 brands. They have 45 brands. They own Larbar, your fave. Yeah. I think this is great. Great news.
Not just lip service of some kind. This isn't just going to be like a...
I mean, a 40% reduction...
There's no way to fake that. Right? No way to like cheapen that. Who knows? Like, what if they start emitting something else 40% by fixing, getting rid of the dairy?
I mean, that could be the case.
Who knows? All right. But anyway, they said regenerative agriculture goal is part of their project to reach net zero carbon emissions by 2050, decrease carbon footprint by 30% by 2030. And they've already decreased their emissions 7% on the 2020 baseline. So they're not exactly on pace, but
maybe it's a slow roll. You know, I mean, you got to like, it ramps up.
Yeah, right. The exponential growth here happens. Mm-hmm. All right. So there you go. There's your weather report. And the main topic today.
Hold on, Matt. Alex wants to know, if I'm Leslie Knope, are you Alex or are you Tom?
April or Tom.
April.
I hope I'm Tom. Tom's funny. April just sort of hates everything.
Well, that jives.
Right. So I'm probably more April than Tom, but I like Tom better.
Yeah. Tom's got the jokes.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Best Life Online coming in on Thursday, like they always do. Coming in the clutch. When I panic on Thursday with nothing to talk about, we go to Best Life Online. The 8 most overrated and underrated health foods, nutritionist says. Claire Sorley is her name, certified nutritionist, NTP, founder of Resilient Health and Wellness. And she put out a 2-part TikTok video, and that's what Best Life Online decided was worthy of an article, breaking down her advice in the 2-part TikTok video. So here we go. Overrated or underrated? Doug, well, you probably already read the article, but alkaline water is up number one. I wish that we could have guessed at these without knowing what they are.
Oh, yeah. This actually, I might not remember.
Okay, then don't look at it. Okay. And I'll seem like the smart guy who knows. Someone just recently, a friend just texted me and said, hey, Matt, what's the deal with alkaline water? My brother says it's awesome, says it cleared up his acne, all these other health miracles. And what do you think, Doug? Overrated or underrated alkaline water?
Underrated, for sure. We got to all be drinking alkaline water. No, yep. I think it's overrated, for sure.
Yes, alkaline water. Not nature's Ozempic or anything like that. It's doesn't do any miracles as far as I am concerned or know. And Sorley agrees with me. She says, we don't need to be messing with the pH of our water. Plus, when we drink the alkaline water, it's going to the place in the body that needs to be very acidic, which is our stomach. So I don't know about that, if that really matters. But yeah, I have a feeling alkaline water doesn't matter at all. What I told my friend was, as far as I know, it's not good. I had an alkaline water bottle that had minerals in the like little mineral compartment, and it would just infuse the water with it, I guess. Hmm. And it would last, one of these things would last for like a couple months and alkalize your water. But then I started reading about it. I think it was some other water company's propaganda that said alkaline water actually can do damage to, I think, either your liver or kidneys if you drink too much of it. You know, that wasn't definitely a very reliable claim, but it made me worry. I thought, you know, this isn't just completely risk-free to go doing something very different.
Right. What kind of research is that?
Yeah. So anyway, so I just said, I'm probably not going to keep doing that. And I said to my friend, I said, I think good old alkaline, if you look up alkaline foods, you get a list of foods that turn out are really good, whether or not you believe in acid alkaline stuff, which some people do. Some people say total pseudoscience. But even someone like Dr. Furman, I think, has said something like the more dairy you eat, the more acidic the environment in your body gets, and it needs to leach from bones the minerals and calcium specifically. And that's why there's actually a higher risk of osteoporosis from countries that consume a lot of dairy. So like someone like him does believe in it, even though a lot of people call it pseudoscience. Anyway, but if you look at the list of foods, it's all these different vegetables and a few fruits, but just good, healthy, green things that are alkaline. So I said, that should be your alkaline source. And love this one from Britters. The only kind of alkaline I'm into is Trio.
I love that.
Man, Alkaline Trio, that music holds up. That's
totally.
Not all that stuff does, not all that genre does. Mm-hmm. But they just, I don't know. They just have some bangers. Now their new stuff, not that into, but good stuff.
Justin says that Gatorade just released a new alkaline water with electrolytes. Which if that's the case, I mean that's like mainstream.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
Alkaline water going mainstream.
Wow. Definitely is.
Yeah. Hey, before we move on, I think that they rotate underrated, overrated. So mix it up a little bit.
Okay. Spin the wheel here. Swipe and see where I end up. All right, Doug, here we go. Probiotic supplements. Ooh, what do you think? We have some.
I know this. I've written many articles about why this is overrated.
Okay. You're saying overrated.
Overrated, for sure. Yeah.
Yep. Me too. Informed by who is it? Gut Health MD, one person. That's Dr. B, of course.
Dr. Will B.
He says no need for probiotics. And I think who was it? Married to Health? They talk a lot about that stuff too.
Yep.
Anyway, the word the
yeah everyone knows probiotics. They help us formulate our prebiotic, which is very different than a probiotic.
Exactly. There you go. So that's good. That plants prepares the ground basically for good stuff to happen. Probiotic. What's the difference? Like probiotic.
Probiotics is just infusing a bunch of microbes into your gut.
Right.
And then, you know, but they're just foreign, right? Like your body hasn't produced them. They haven't grown them. Can't really house them without continuing to take more. But the prebiotic creates the nice environment for them to thrive.
There you go. So anyway, Sorley says, I wonder if everyone says like, you're sorely mistaken. They probably do that all the time on her TikTok. But anyway, she says they're overrated. There are some good brands. She does sometimes give specific instances to her clients, but in general, reach instead for a food source like sauerkraut, which has pre and probiotics, tends to be more affordable. So she's saying affordability is kind of the main reason. With sauerkraut, you can start with just 1 teaspoon per day. Wow.
There you go.
All right. So overrated, Doug, you're 2 for 2. Here we go. Number 3, collagen powders. Which we don't make a compliment because you can't truly get collagen that is vegan. It comes from, it's an animal product. There's vegan
collagen. Yeah, I don't really know much about collagen. I'm going to say overrated because we don't make it. I don't actually know much about collagen. Right. It's good for your skin, right? I mean, I don't even know like what why people take it.
I think it helps your skin stay nicer. Yeah, I think that's, I think it keeps elasticity and stuff like that and hair, skin, etc. Anyway, she says overrated. You're 3 for 3, Doug. This was in the April 2nd follow-up video that she did. Highly processed, funky additives, make you gassy and bloated. Best whole food source is going to be bone broth, she says. So,
also overrated, by the way.
Yeah, it probably is. Anyway, so that like doesn't
$10 for a jar of bone broth. Crazy.
Really? So anyway, I did a Google once vegan collagen, and I found a bunch of stuff that like, it's oddly, they can label stuff vegan collagen or collagen peptides and stuff, but like it doesn't, it's not actually collagen. Nor is it some lab created version of it. It's like just other stuff. I forget what it was, but you look up stuff called vegan collagen and it's just not collagen. So it doesn't seem like there's a good solution here for vegans. All right, on to the next. All right, Doug, here we go. Red bell peppers, under or overrated?
I mean, I don't hear a lot of people talking about red bell peppers, so I'm going to say underrated.
So you just go based on how rated it currently is, and if it's highly rated, you're going to say under. If it's okay,
yeah. I mean, right?
Well, that's right. You got it. She says they're underrated. They have 3 times the amount of vitamin C as an orange does. Why are we having orange juice when we're sick? She asks her followers. We need to make a big old batch of red bell pepper soup. Here's the thing. I think this is good. I think they are a great food for sure. Bell peppers, though, apparently are like on that, they're always on that dirty dozen list. Yeah. And they're so expensive to get the organic ones. So she was talking about price earlier in one of her things. So she doesn't factor that in here. Doesn't mention it, but that's a concern for me. Because I'm never going to spend $4 on one of those things. So I'm always going to get the non-organic. And then is that actually doing bad for my health?
Here's a question. Are green bell peppers underrated or overrated compared to red or yellow? Like, is there really much of a health benefit from going green to red?
Well, they taste way different. So I would imagine there are different things in them.
They do taste way different, but it's the same thing, right? It's just different. Is it not? I've always believed it was the same thing at different parts of the growing phase.
Oh, different stages? I don't know about that. I wouldn't have thought that, but I'm not sure.
I'm going to look this up.
Okay. Anyway, while you do that, bell and hot peppers are number 9 currently on the 2024 Dirty Dozen list. Strawberries, number 1, for anyone interested. Kale, collard, mustard greens, number 3. And I just ate a big non-organic kale salad on Sunday night. Or maybe it was Monday night for dinner. Thinking I was being healthy, eating kale. Turned out I was probably poisoning myself.
All right. According to Wikipedia, in the bell pepper, red bell peppers are simply ripened green peppers.
Oh, never knew that. Way to go, Doug. You're like nutrition man today. You're on fire.
I'm on fire. This is good.
Humble red bell pepper, says Justin Kerner. That is correct. Raiders knows that. She grows red bells and they're green first before turning red.
Yeah.
I just didn't know that. Maybe I did it one time in my life when we garden, but I forgot it if I did. All right.
My favorite when you're growing bell peppers is to get them when they're like half green, half red. That flavor is very good to me.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Overrated or underrated, Doug? Cooking broth.
Cooking broth?
Cooking broth.
Ooh. Like making your own broth? What does that mean? Cooking.
No, the picture is her holding a box of it.
I mean, underrated, I guess.
Underrated. Cooking broth, underrated. But you could have guessed because she earlier said get the collagen from...
From broth. Right. There you go.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, she says, this should be in everyone's kitchen. Adding broth to your meals or using it as a replacement for water is the easiest, most underrated way to add more nutrients to your meals. Make them taste so much better. Get one with clean ingredients, she says. So she doesn't say bone broth here, or even she doesn't say chicken or beef. She just, the picture is chicken broth, but she doesn't say. I started making my own broth to save money. We just put all the scraps into a big bag in the freezer. And then every, once a week, once every 2 weeks, whatever, I'll throw all that in a big pot with water. turn it on, 25 minutes or so of boiling, add some salt, and you have very good, delicious broth. Then I started worrying about all these non-organic vegetables I'm buying and all the dirt that's on things that you wash stuff off, and like the onion sides, the sides of the onions, right? Those roots that have dirt in them, whatever. Like that's all going in my broth. And so then I started thinking, what am I like putting into the water when I like, I'm just dissolving a bunch of pesticides and things and having pesticide broth basically when I do this? Saves a bunch of money, but at what expense?
Pesticide broth. So I like this. Actually, we've been cooking a lot more with broth, like even rice and stuff like that, you know, instead of using water, like half water, half broth. It adds so much flavor. I haven't really thought about the nutrient profile. Is vegetable broth that healthy for you?
I mean, yeah, I think so. I mean, I've heard people say good things like save the broccoli water or whatever, like use the stuff that you're cooking your vegetables in, like it's just full of nutrients. I don't know how true it is, but the broth gets very colorful. So I would assume that it's got to be correlated with nutrition going into it.
We have this,
but again,
this broth paste that we use sometimes.
Oh yeah, like bouillon kind of stuff?
It's similar, I guess, kind of bouillon, but it's not a cube. It's like this paste that you scoop a little bit out, add it to boiling water, into the broth.
Yeah. Is it called better than beef broth or something like that? Better than bouillon or something?
Better than bouillon. Yeah, that might be right. I don't know.
Yeah, no idea. I don't know how nutrient rich that stuff is, but who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Back to our quiz. I think you've gotten 5 for 5 here. Can you?
Last one was a total guess. All right. What have we got here? Let's go.
All right, this is a tough one. Sleepy Time Tea.
Ooh.
Is that a brand or is that, that's a registered trademark brand. That's not just anything. But I'm guessing anything that's meant to be nighttime tea is going to qualify.
I'm going to say underrated. And I'm hoping that's true because I drink this stuff.
You were correct. Last on Surly's list is Sleepy Time Tea. She says it doesn't get enough hype. The herbs will help you not only get to sleep, but also stay asleep. Look at that. That's all she has to say. Mic drop. Article ends right there. She doesn't even... say anything else about it. That's it. I don't know what to say about it.
What's in it? Does it say what herbs are in it?
Chamomile, spearmint, lemongrass, telia flowers, blackberry leaves, orange blossoms, and hawthorn and rosebuds. That all sounds good. The Blues owners drink a lot of tea, a lot of herb teas, wild herbs that they get, things we don't have here or even have heard of here probably. And, it's one of the things I think is included in Dan Buettner's Power 9 or whatever, I think, is the herb teas and things. So I think this is good. I don't drink enough teas. Really almost never do.
I was never a tea drinker until I started drinking less alcohol. And I just like to have something at night.
Yeah.
Let's turn into that.
That's when I
have tea.
Yeah. If I were to stop drinking alcohol, that's when I have tea. Chamomile's the main ingredient, says Dale Stevens. She's correct. And she believes in it. Dale, another hot take. I like this. I for all my bad sleeping, I have not fooled around too much with the teas. I did romaine lettuce tea for a while. Remember that phase? And that was okay. I felt like it did make me drowsy. I don't know if it helps you stay asleep, I probably should give it a try. See what happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're 6 for 6. You got two more here. Let me just make sure there are actually two. Yep. Two left. All right. Here we go. I'm rooting for you, Doug. Come on. Over or underrated? Raspberries.
Overrated. No. I don't know.
Underrated. Oh, man. I have a sound machine I could have been using this whole time. And I'm not. I could have been putting dings. There we go.
It's underrated?
It is underrated. They don't get enough credit. And the reason is fiber. She says they actually have a decent amount of fiber, which we could use more of. That's it. That's why we need more raspberries.
I don't know about that, man. They're so expensive. raspberries are so expensive.
Cost and other things, but
if all you need is fiber. See, I don't know.
There's lots of fantastic things about raspberries, in my opinion. So it just fiber seems to be selling it short to me. There's a lot of good reasons that may even justify the cost, but just for the fiber, you can do it a lot cheaper than that. You can go buy a oat bran or whatever.
Yeah. Wheaties. We rarely buy raspberries anymore because they're so expensive. There's cheaper berries that we can buy.
Yeah. Raspberries hurt my teeth. They wear away my enamel. My teeth are bad. They don't hold up. All right. Game's no fun anymore. Now you ruined it, though. You got one wrong. But last one, consolation prize, oatmeal, over or underrated?
All right. I did see this one, so this is a cheat. But it was a surprise to me. Overrated.
Got it. Wouldn't this game been fun if I'd done it the whole time? Overrated. Oatmeal's fine, but it's just kind of like, we get it, you know? And it's a little... That's it. That's all she says about it.
I wish you talked like that all the time.
That's literally it. That's all. That's her reason.
That's it. Yeah. The reason.
Yeah, I was just reading it.
Well. Mm.
Yeah, I don't know what that. I mean, so I guess she's kind of doing your game here, where she's saying it's so highly rated that nothing can live up to that hype. Mm-hmm. And that might be true. Michael Palm on our team said it was everyone knows it's the best breakfast in the world, he thought. So that shows it's pretty highly rated. I mean, I can kind of believe this, right? If everyone thinks that's the healthiest breakfast in the world, which they all don't, I would say, you know, it's just a bunch of whole grain. And like, I guess if you put the right stuff in there, that's good. But it's not like it's any some amazing thing.
Yeah.
You'd be better off with a bunch of vegetables and nuts and seeds and things. I think that are going to be better than
lentils.
Yeah. Throw some lentils in there.
And then, you know, and then you have to think about, like, oatmeal is such a broad term, you know, the different types of oatmeal. And then also most people don't eat oatmeal with just the good stuff and not a bunch of sugar and, you know, all that kind of thing in there. Right. So.
Yep. There we go. Well, that was fun. We'll have to do the quiz versions of this again.
I know. I like this. This is way better. Not knowing.
Definitely. Okay. Good. All right. Well, we went 10 minutes more than we thought on a day when we had nothing to talk about. It seemed. So that worked out. That's it. That's all we got. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Afternoon show. Plant-based morning/afternoon show. Isabel will be with us. Matt will not be with us. Matt Tolman will not be with us. I'll be here this week anyway. He will not. You're going to tell us about the Rip Esselstyn dinner. So there's your reason to show up tomorrow.
There you go.
You want to hear how Doug's dinner with Rip goes, you got to tune in tomorrow. 1 p.m.
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone, for coming and participating. This was fun. Always.
Yep. Absolutely.
Have a good Thursday. See you tomorrow.
Bye.